1978. Now, I do not consider it to be equivalent to a creed or a confession, and it certainly is not meant to be. But we have used creeds and confessions in here that we don't formally embrace as Providence Church, but that they serve what I would call a very important advisory role with us. And the Chicago Statement on Inerrancy is certainly one of those that plays such a function. Are there any more? Because I don't think Jim and Daryl got any. I forgot, I left out Jim and Daryl. Now, today I just want to introduce this document a little to you. As I said, it was written in 1978 in Chicago, and over 200 evangelical leaders signed this. And the handout I gave you is 6 pages, but it doesn't give the whole pages of signees, but I'd like to mention a few of them, partially because it's very ecumenical in the good sense of ecumenical, meaning that there are a lot of men and women that are significant, many men that I look highly up to from a number of different traditions who actually signed this document. I picked out a few. I'm not going to read 200 plus of them to you, but I'm going to read about a dozen names that many of you will have some familiarity to that signed this document. People like Jay Adams, best known Christian Nuthetic counselor, Greg Bonson, very important theonomist, Calvin Beisner, Carl Bogue is someone that I met and pastored up in the Akron area for many, many years, a Jonathan Edwards expert, James Montgomery Boyce, Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, D.A. Carson, one of the better Reformed thinkers of our day, Edmund Clowney, John Frame is, I consider, one of the best apologists today, Norman Geisler, another great apologist, Wayne Grudem, taught at Trinity Seminary, Howard Hendricks taught at Dallas Seminary, Francis Nigel Lee, somebody that we had once speak in Ashland, who is Australian. He was one of the mentors of Ian Hodge, Walter Kaiser, D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridge, Joe Kikasola, who was my professor at Ashland Seminary, wonderful man, now retired, a good friend of Eric's, Hal Lindsey, Josh McDowell, John MacArthur, J.P. Moreland, a really good philosopher, Henry Morris, creation research scientist, John Murray, great Reformed thinker, Roger Nicole, who was a great professor of church history at Gordon-Conwell, J.I. Packer, Luis Palau, P-A-L-A-U, a very well-known evangelist, Charles Ryrie, Francis Schaeffer, Joe Schultz, who was the president of Ashland Seminary when I attended, R.C. Sproul, David Wells from Gordon-Conwell, John Whitcomb, and Edwin Yamuchi, who was well-known here in Ohio as a professor of history at Miami of Ohio. Those are just some of the names of those who signed it, and if you're familiar with any of them, they're from many great Christian biblical traditions. The Chicago Statement on Inerrancy emphasizes the authority of Scripture. This is the issue of the 1970s. It is the issue of today. It is by far the most important issue of today, is the authority of Scripture. All non-Christians out there, and many, far too many Christians, are trying to undermine the authority of God's Word. In the preface, I'd like to read just a couple of statements. The third paragraph down, or fourth paragraph down. We offer this statement in a spirit not of contention, but of humility and love, which we propose by God's grace to maintain in any future dialogue arising out of what we have said. We gladly acknowledge that many who deny the inerrancy of Scripture do not display the consequences of this denial in the rest of their belief and behavior. And we are conscious that we who confess this doctrine often deny it in life by failing to bring our thoughts and deeds, our traditions and habits, into true subjection of the divine word. And so this is a statement emphasizing the great inspired element of God's word. Let me just read the five statements to introduce it on page 2 of your document. And then next week we'll actually start with the articles of affirmation and denial. God, who is himself truth and speaks truth only, has inspired Holy Scripture in order thereby to reveal himself to lost mankind through Jesus Christ as Creator and Lord, Redeemer and Judge. Holy Scripture is God's witness to himself. What a great line. Holy Scripture being God's own word, written by men, prepared and superintended by his Spirit, is of infallible divine authority in all matters upon which it touches. It is to be believed as God's instruction in all that it affirms, obeyed as God's command in all that it requires, embraced as God's pledge in all that it promises. The Holy Spirit, Scripture's divine author, both authenticates it to us by his inward witness and opens our minds to understanding its meaning. Being holy and verbally God-given, Scripture is without error or fault in all its teaching, no less in what it states about God's acts in creation, about the events of world history, and about its own literary origin under God, than in its witness to God's saving grace in individual lives. The authority of Scripture is inescapably impaired if this total divine inerrancy is in any way limited or disregarded or made relative to a view of truth contrary to the Bible's own. And such lapses bring serious loss both to the individual and to the church, which is us, the people of God. That's how important God's word is to us and must be to us. So I hope you'll find this document to be one that you become familiar with, that it enriches your lives, and that you come to understand through our study of it in the coming weeks the meaning of the concepts inspiration, inerrancy, and infallibility concerning the glorious Word of God. Amen.